Stephen was talking about asking who murdered you or who killed you. We were talking last night about, I was talking with Soma Krishna about the amount of anger and sadism in each of us. That what makes that movie so difficult is how we see that with that righteousness we could kill. And there have been so many ways that I've hidden from things in teaching Freudian theory. I could talk about these places of unacceptable impulses and be very erudite about them. And then with spiritual techniques, one can sort of up-level them, assume that they sort of go away by analyzing them away or meditating them away. Turn it down a little, there's a lot of feedback. But recently I was on the island of Hawaii, and I'd been invited by a group to speak to them. And the group turned out to be a, I didn't know what the group was to be. They said they were a meditating group, but it turned out to be an intensive therapeutic community that had been living together for, some of them for 10 years. That had been through hundreds of acid trips together and were very tuned to feelings. And I started to speak in the evening. And after some time, they started to, one girl got up and said, I'm feeling a lot of pain because I don't feel your heart. You're saying all these wonderful things, but I don't feel anything coming from you. And somebody else said, you know, you write, all your books have helped me so much, but why aren't you like your books? And there was a way in which there were 40 people, and they were very unified. And they all, I mean, in my way of, the horrible way I could say it is they all tasted blood. They all knew there was a place in me that wasn't clean, wasn't clear. And no matter how hard I tried to defend myself, when they said, what is it with your personal life? I said, it's not relevant. We're here to deal with the spirit. But I knew in my heart of hearts that they were right. They had touched a place in me that I just wouldn't deal with. Even though there was something in me that was always screaming, because it was so easy to be Ram Dass and so hard to clean out that stuff. And everybody really wanted the Ram Dass part. And for 3 hours I fought them off. It was me in the wagon circle with one gun shooting 40 Indians all at once. And then the head of this group said it around midnight. I mean, they were paying me to come and talk to them, you understand? They said, well, we've done as much work as we can do tonight. Why don't we start again at 6:45 tomorrow morning? Which... then to understand that they were in a plantation, a papaya plantation, way back in the hills, and there was no way to escape that I could think of. I was totally at their mercy. And I went to bed and I couldn't sleep because I knew that they were right. And I knew that I was dishonest. And I knew that it would be very painful with all these 40 people to be that straight and be that vulnerable and be that, even though I'm a professional exposer, it's always on my terms. And they weren't setting, giving me my terms. And finally I decided, look, this is something that has been given to me by grace, and I'm going to take it. It's going to be painful as hell, but I'm going to take it. So the next morning I went in and I said, you know, you're all right. I really need you to help me. And we started to work on my life. And they said to me, you were murdered. And my psychological mind said, they're just theorizing. Because I was a child development psychologist and I understand about socialization. And they kept saying, you were murdered. And I have a brother who 15 years ago just became terribly destructive in a certain form of what I guess is called psychosis, and was hospitalized many times and tried to kill my father and has created for years just tremendous pain to everybody in the family. And they kept saying, your brother was the only one that fought back. And that was absolutely unthinkable to me, that he had fought and that I had lost. I had been murdered along the way. And they started what I understand was a would be considered a form of rebirthing, or they all were around me and pressing on my stomach and my throat and my ears and my eyes, and it wasn't the traditional rebirthing, it was just a form of release, and they had me form my hands into fists and I started to scream, and they kept saying louder and louder, and they all kept saying, you were murdered. And I flipped back and I was suddenly this two-year-old being in a, I don't know, two, maybe 6 months, somewhere back, way back. And I was in a temper tantrum, rage, which felt like the last time I had ever been, the last time before I surrendered and became good. And good and angry and swallowing it and righteous and full of fear that I would kill if I could, because that's all part and parcel of that whole process when it goes under. When you get murdered, you want to fight back at some point. And it was as if it was like a memory, a primordial memory, a primal thing in me of remembering what it was like to be alive before I got murdered. And suddenly their statement was no longer a theoretical statement, it was something that I felt in my gut. And I can intellectually say that everybody in this room has in some way, just to be socialized, to be able to survive, because our parents were always under pressure to make us social creatures, has in us all of that stuff. And that to understand the grief for ourselves and the guilt because of that lurking anger and that lurking sadism and that lurking willingness to hurt and that fear of our ability to hurt. And there's some way, going back to what I said before about honoring what our incarnation means and living within it
not getting lost in it, but living within it. That's not all we are. We are also God, but recognizing our incarnation. For me, I have this work I have to do still. And I guess many of us still feel we have to do it, because that seems to be a resonant theme in many of us. And I hated those 40 people, and I love them incredibly, for having the compassion to hang in with me when I was screaming and crying and vomiting and raging and feeling waves of self-pity. And I'm learning, just like I think you're learning, that it's quite all right. It's quite all right to have all this stuff. And that until we give license, we won't really start to appreciate what freedom is about.
Everything that's come up thus far whether it's dealing with the bits of flesh in the San Diego disaster or the holding the boys down and knowing that there's something in you that has that anger and that aggression towards others, destructiveness, wanting to even kill. The confusion as to how to deal with such incredible suffering of the concentration camps in a family. The allowing oneself to imagine how a husband might have died in the Battle of the Bulge. Each of these, while not specifically in content familiar to most of us, in essence is familiar. The confusion of action, of what to do, the feelings of almost unbearable pain. And the grief and the guilt. Somewhere in all of this process we're going through, there is a mosaic of, almost like a catalog of human suffering. And we are a corpus, we are a body here. Suffering of the loss of a lover. Suffering of loss of a role or an identity as a mother, as a parent. But the mosaic isn't yet complete. There's more here. Every time you share, realize that even though your story is a personal story, it's a collective process that we're going through. And you're just putting your part in. But I realized as I told about my experience in Hawaii that I was talking about an emotion of then.
And that worked through something, and it's at rest now. Let's look now for emotions that are of now, feelings that are of now, things that are being worked on right now in people.